Blackstone presents Home is Where the Bodies Are by Geneva Rose. This book is read by January Lavoie, Brittany Presley, Cassandra Campbell, and Andrew Iden. Prologue and acknowledgments read by Geneva Rose.
To my family, you've never had to hide a body, but I know you would if needed. Dad sure had us pour a lot of concrete, though, so who knows what's under there. Prologue. Nothing brings people together better than death. It's like the sound of a high-pitched whistle for a dog that has strayed from its owner. When it happens, they always come. Death reminds us that life isn't infinite, and that one day, our time will come too. We pause to listen to that reminder, to acknowledge it, to show it the respect it demands, and then we spread out into the world like Pappy on a dying dandelion, waiting for it to call us again, hoping the next call will be to gather rather than to be gathered around. Knock, knock. Don't worry. It's not for you. This time.
1. Beth. The rain falls differently today. Not soft, not hard, not sideways. Just different. As though it's preparing my mother's final resting place, saturating the ground where she will soon lie. The hospice nurse said she'll pass by the end of the day. It's odd. Some people never see it coming. Others have a countdown. And I don't know which is worse. I stare out the kitchen window, which overlooks 5 acres of property, a mix of trees, hills, flat grassy land, and a creek that cuts through it all. My parents purchased the land from a farmer back in the late 70s and had a home built here shortly after. It was their little slice of paradise. Until it wasn't. My phone buzzes. A text from my brother. His flight has landed, and he'll be home in under an hour. Home? He stopped visiting 7 years ago, when our father disappeared. So I wouldn't call our small Wisconsin town his home. Only 174 people can call it that, but not him. Most people who leave the Grove don't come back, and those that do never return because they want to. It's kind of like a cemetery in that way. I flick to the text I sent my sister hours ago. It's unread. She's probably strung out in some motel, a needle wedged between her toes because her veins collapsed long before she caught up with that high she's been chasing all her life. I let out a heavy sigh at the mere thought of my sister. Addiction is exhausting for both the users and the ones they use. I pull a loaf of white bread from the cupboard and slather a heavy helping of mayo on 2 slices. A bowl of round and supple beefsteak tomatoes, plucked from the garden, sits beside the sink. I place the ripest one on the worn cutting board. Tomato water seeps from the flesh as my knife slides through it. I'm not sure why I'm even making Mom a tomato mayo sandwich. She hasn't eaten anything in days, but it's her favorite, she says. She grew up dirt poor. So her favorites are her favorites because she hasn't experienced anything better. I always wanted to do more for her, to show her a world outside of the Grove. But I never got out either.
Elizabeth,
my mother calls softly from the living room. She says my name the same way she consumes her Werther's candies, slowly, deliberately. It's like she's savoring it. My shoulders drop, sinking to a place familiar to those who have faced defeat. I know I'll never hear her say it again. My name, the one she gave me. I wish I could reach out and grab it, stow it away in a safe place, like some sort of family heirloom. But it belongs to this moment. Like her, it's not something I can keep forever. I take a deep breath and release the knife from my hand. It thuds against the cutting board. It's time to say my final goodbye.